We're getting back together with Brian Peacock. He's on a lot of other shows, but it's been too long since we talked to the great Brian Peacock of the Locked On 49ers podcast here on KNBR Tonight with Dieter Kurtenbach. Really looking forward to this conversation because, listen, 49ers just getting done with whatever the hell you want to call mini camp, OTAs. They're getting done with the spring portion of their offseason. They're on the field a little bit. They're figuring each other out. There's some progress being made, and Brian analyzes it as well as anybody in the game. So let's bring him on right now. Brian Peacock, Locked On 49ers podcast. How the hell you doing, buddy?
Dieter, it's been a little bit, man. Not only OTAs, spring practices, there was a draft. There were atmospheric rivers since the last time I talked to you.
I might have another one by the time we get back on the air again. We will not get any deeper into that. Let me ask you, though, what was your main takeaway from all of the reporting? Most of it generally forgettable and erroneous. Not to knock any of the reporters, but like, come on now. Come on now, we don't need to make a bigger deal out of this than it is, but surely something caught your eye, had you thinking a little bit harder than you normally would at this juncture of the season. What were you taken aback by?
Well, look, I always try to think not too hard. I don't want to hurt myself.
Of course.
Look, only the casuals are worried about Trey Lance versus Sam Darnold. Let's be honest. There's a kicking competition going on. There's an undrafted free agent running back in camp that's probably going to rush for 600 yards under Kyle Shanahan,
yes.
6 yards per carry. We know that stuff's going to happen.
Of course. But
you know, obviously it's all about the quarterbacks right now at this time. But I think the thing for me is because, you know, and look, and you said you're talking about the reporters, the 49ers have no better. There's no better team in the league that's covered than the 49ers. Tons of great beat writers, tons of great content creators. But the things I take away are, you know, who's in shape, who's in camp, who's not. The fact that Nick Bosa is showing up, even though there's a really important contract negotiation going on there. We saw what last year's contract negotiation did to the season for Deebo Samuel, and he admits that he was playing awful and out of shape, and, you know, awful's a little strong, but I like that he was hard on himself. And an in-shape Deebo Samuel plus a ready-to-take-off Brandon Ayuk, who is ascending, plus a full season of Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I would want to play quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers because this thing could be a juggernaut.
I mean, there's a lot of talent on this team. There's no question about it. And we had Jake Hutchinson on earlier today, and I was just sort of offhand commenting on the fact that, okay, the Niners have a chance to be really, really good. We know that. And we know the NFC is weak. I don't think I had taken proper stock of the rest of the NFC West. Seattle's fine. I'm not terribly impressed by Seattle. I'm also not somebody who's going to write them off. It feels like they're a 500 team. The Rams, I don't know what they are. I know what the Cardinals are, and it is doo-doo. They are going to be atrocious this season, perhaps by design. What happened to the juggernaut division, the absolute gauntlet that was the NFC West? It feels like a one-team division these days.
It's pretty unbelievable. And as much talent, especially through the draft, as the Seahawks have added the last couple of off seasons, they still have Geno Smith in quarterback. And he was a really nice story last year, but I don't think anybody's worried about a team that's led by Geno Smith. And then when you look at the Rams, they literally have three good players. And that's it. And those guys better be healthy or they're going to be battling with the Arizona Cardinals for the first pick in the draft. And I have argued publicly, Dieter, that it would probably benefit the 49ers to lose home field advantage in the playoffs just to make sure that to drop a game maybe each to the Cardinals and the Rams just to ensure that Caleb Williams doesn't enter the division, right? Because that is probably the worst-case scenario because both those teams could be so bad, especially the Cardinals, that they're picking number one overall next year.
It's something to think about. I'm not sure the gamesmanship is reasonable or feasible given given how, you know, listen, the Cardinals are still going to come in here. If the Cardinals win a game against the 49ers this season, which of course would be at Levi's Stadium, like that's just, it goes without saying. If that happens, I'm pretty sure we won't all be saying after the game, well, the Niners let them have that. That was really, that was four-dimensional chest from Kyle Shanahan there. Like, it just, it's a bad division. It's a bad conference. I understand that it's really hard to win, but what's a reasonable expectation as we sit here right now on June 8th? What's a reasonable expectation for the San Francisco 49ers when it comes to their win total this upcoming season?
Well, I think it's pretty telling that they have one of the top win totals in the NFL and that I'm easily taking the over on 10.5 wins.
Wow.
For the 49ers when I don't even know who their quarterback is going to be in week one. And, the 49ers should be smart with Brock Purdy and not force him back too soon. But what I saw from Purdy was a level of quarterback play that I'm really confident is going to be very good for the 49ers. I don't know if he's the next Joe Montana or a Drew Brees, but I think at least Kyle Shanahan is going to get his Kirk Cousins level play from Brock Purdy.
That's all he ever wanted.
Maybe a little more. Right, exactly. Finally, maybe a little extra athleticism in there.
Yeah.
But, we don't know what he's going to look like post elbow surgery. Maybe even he strengthened everything around it. Maybe it's even a tick better arm. But he doesn't have a lot of arm to lose. And if Sam Darnold starts some games and he throws a couple too many interceptions and still sees some ghosts, but Kyle's able to scheme some things open, all the playmakers the 49ers have on offense, and he makes enough throws and is efficient enough, it probably won't look much different than it looked like under Jimmy Garoppolo. So even in the short term, if it's not a fully developed Trey Lance who turns into a juggernaut of an NFL quarterback, which I would love to see Trey Lance get four starts just to know, because that's the most unfortunate thing about all of it. It's just like, there's just so much unknown with Trey Lance. I kind of want to see it through, but when Brock Purdy's ready, he's going to be the guy. And that's just the way it's going to be. But the 49ers are going to be a really good football team. The pass is there. And it's just a collision course with the Philadelphia Eagles, it feels like, again.
When it comes to Purdy's return, it's clear that he's QB1. I don't think anything that's going to happen in camp is going to change that scenario where Brock Purdy is the favorite of Kyle Shanahan and the guy who would start if all things were equal and everybody was healthy. But, of course, they're not equal and not everybody's healthy. But when they get the full slate, it's going to be Purdy. What happens if Lance comes in and is good? I mean, does that not create a real issue for the Niners just politically with the fan base? If Trey Lance is everything that he was always promised to be, and now he looks great and the base is fat, strong, and the arm is fast, and they're just ripping it out there, like, how do you go back to Purdy at that point? It's not as – I know he had a great end of last season, but it's not as if this is a guy with a massive amount of cachet to you can go back to and say, well, it's Brock Purdy. Yeah, it's Brock Purdy. Like, it almost feels ridiculous that we're in a situation where we're like, well, of course Purdy would start in week one. Like, I know what happened last year. He was really good. I'm with you. He provided plus quarterback play when very little was expected. At the same time, this is a Super Bowl caliber team, and you got to ride whichever quarterback. It doesn't matter what his name is. It might even be Brock Purdy. It might even be an undrafted free agent this year. You got to ride whichever quarterback's going to win you games. And if Trey Lance starts week one because Brock Purdy's elbow isn't ready and is winning games, don't you have to ride that until at least he loses?
No doubt. Oh, I'm with you 100%. And the reason I want to see it is just in case that's what happens. Because if that's what happens and Trey Lance starts to show you that he could be that guy, and then once he plays a full season of football for the first time in 5 years, what about when he plays a second season of football, right? How good is he going to be then? So that's the part I'm talking about. We kind of have to see it through. And if he looks like he could be that guy after a few weeks, there's no way you go back to Brock Purdy at that point, because what Trey Lance could be raises your ceiling. But today he's probably not as efficient, but if he shows he is over the course of a few weeks to start the season, I don't think you do go back. But then, and my co-host on Locked On 49ers, Eric Crocker, brought up the point today on our podcast that the best thing for everybody might be to just trade Trey Lance so we don't have that. There's no clouds over anybody's head. Trey Lance gets to finally play somewhere, because this not knowing is really drives a lot of people crazy, especially in the fan base. And apparently it doesn't drive John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan crazy, or maybe it does. But once, something's got to give once Brock Purdy's healthy, because the 49ers will have too many quarterbacks. And most likely that means Brandon Allen is gone. but he's looked good enough in camp that that's your number three guy. Do you really want to pay Trey Lance $9 million, or could you find a team that wants to give him a shot? And if you're Trey Lance, do you start asking for a trade? Because your career depends on playing some football at some point.
Right. What a hot mess. The best kind of mess, of course, for the 49ers. Sam Darnold's involved in this mess, too. Do you give any credence to the possibility of Sam Darnold starting games outside of a effectively emergency situation where he's the third-string quarterback having to come in? Because I feel like there's been so much hype, and I'm wondering where the heck is it just wishful thinking and boredom coming together to create Sam Darnold is going to win the Super Bowl conversation, or is there something else going on that I'm missing?
I don't really understand why people are so excited to see Sam Darnold thinking they're going to see something different. That's the part I don't really understand. And look, even if he's the same Sam Darnold, and he's got better coaching and better people around him, that might look a little bit better. But there's been no evidence that he sees the field clearly at all in the NFL. He, you know, turns the ball over basically twice a game. And that's just who he is. And, of course, he is, you know, a strapping guy who's drafted high for a reason, has a good arm. I'm sure he'll look great in shorts and workouts. But that's not NFL football, right? So right. I don't know why people would expect a different Sam Darnold. Could he win a few games in a short term with the 49ers? Yeah, he absolutely could. And like I said earlier, maybe it doesn't look much different than what there, you know, what was going on with Jimmy Garoppolo, and maybe even makes a couple of bigger plays because he's, you know, physically more talented and might be a little bit more aggressive and able to throw the ball down the field a little bit. But it's surprising how many people will just ignore the entire 55 game.
We have a pretty good sample size on this guy.
And expect there's something different. Like, not knowing what Brock Purdy and Trey Lance is makes sense. Thinking that there might be something extra there with Sam Darnold, I don't buy that at all. And maybe he is the next Geno Smith, but maybe that's something we find in 2025 once he has an opportunity to hang out with the 49ers as a backup for a couple of years, and then he gets some action. It's like, okay, there we go. He forgot his old bad habits and learned some new good ones, and maybe we find a new Sam Darnold. But to expect it now is strange. And even the last – even he ended the season well, but his last game was really bad with the Carolina Panthers too.
It was terribly rough. It's a good option to have as a third quarterback. Brandon Allen would be a pretty good option as a third quarterback. The 49ers have four quarterbacks that I think you could say could start you a game with varying degrees of success. And that's, you know, a very positive thing to have when you have a head coach that is renowned. I'm not sure if it's deserved or not, but renowned for making the most out of lesser quarterbacks and his system overcoming limitations in talent. And, you know, a lot of offensive weapons. When you look around the NFL, hell, just even the NFC, is there a team that has more offensive weapons than the San Francisco 49ers?
No, I don't think so. They've got the best running back in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And look, running backs, the attrition is crazy at that position. And you're the best running back
right
in
now.
Right. Yeah. Dalvin Cook, by the way, 27 years old, and it feels like, you know,
he was
walking
awful
around
last
with pain.
Year,
And Christian McCaffrey just turned 27. So it happens quickly to NFL running backs. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. But they've got so much talent, guys that can create on their own with McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel. Just hit him, just put it somewhere where he can run after the catch on a slant, and he'll do the rest. You know, that's what we're talking about here. George Kittle. They've got the best offensive lineman in the league in Trent Williams, and we'll see what the rest of the offensive line ends up looking like. But the 49ers have the best collection of talent, and if you just get some efficient quarterback play, and that's what we saw last year with Brock Purdy and all that talent, you can rip off a ton of wins very quickly.
Well, hell, we even saw it with Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, let's just call it what it was. Like, Jimmy was, you know, wasn't brilliant or anything, but there were moments there where I go, oh, man, Jimmy's looking
pretty
good.
That might have been the best Jimmy we saw, yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, 2019 was pretty good, and last year before the injury was pretty good, and then Brock Purdy came in, and we went, no, that's better. Nope, I like that more. Let's stick with that thing. Regardless, where are the weaknesses on this roster? The NFL is a salary cap league. Obviously, the 49ers not spending very much at quarterback, which allows them to spend lavishly on other positions, but it can't just be quarterback. That can't be the weakness of the team. There's got to be other spots that you're looking at and saying, ooh, I don't know about that one. Where do you look at this roster and what gives you pause?
Yeah, well, it would be quarterback play, but also compounded by an offensive line that losing a starter in Mike McGlinchey at right tackle. And then, yeah. You know, once the league has a chance to watch a few games in a row of Colton McKivitz, they find a weakness there and they're able to expose your right tackle. The Trent Williams, who's never played a 17-game season healthy in his career, he's only played 2 16-game seasons. Start to finish in his career, and that was when he was in Washington. So he's going to miss some games. And so depth on the offensive line, especially a tackle, is something that I think could rear its head at some point this season. The 49ers front office seemed to not really think that way. They lost McGlinchey, added Matt Pryor, and they said, let's go. And they've got depth. They've got some competition, some young players on the interior of the offensive line. But tackle is one that, with the freakish edge rushers, they're going to see TJ Watt in week one, right? So let's go, Colton McKivitz. You better be ready for that one in week one. That could be one. People talk about Jimmy W and Jimmy Garoppolo wins, quarterback wins. Mm-hmm. I would venture to guess that Nick Bosa's winning percentage is even better than Jimmy Garoppolo in the Kyle Shanahan era. So that's a guy that the 49ers cannot afford to lose with the depth on the defensive line, because they've got some stud players, but they lost a lot of guys in free agency, especially on the edge. So offensive tackle, you can't lose Trent Williams for long, and defensive line, you can't lose Nick Bosa for long, I think. And obviously Christian McCaffrey, he was a huge catalyst for the 49ers, but we know the attrition level at running back. So they're going to get banged up. And so those positions, I think, are the ones where you worry about injuries that could really derail a season.
What do you expect from Steve Wilks in his first year as defensive coordinator? We had continuity from Robert Saleh on, and now to DeMeco Ryans. Obviously, they did things a little bit differently from each other. That's just the nature of the game. But Steve Wilks is an outsider. That could be a good thing. That could be a bad thing. What have we learned so far about him, and what do you expect from his defense, which is exceptionally talented in and of itself, in this first year?
It's really interesting because he's a well-respected guy. His Panthers played better once he took over last year. Yeah. He's clearly respected. He's got a background from his coaching history, but he hasn't been in one place for long enough to really have a really good idea of what his scheme is and what his thumbprint on defenses is going to be for the 49ers. And in reality, now that we've seen the lineage of defensive coordinators and heard Kyle Shanahan talking about the coaching search for a defensive coordinator this offseason, we can almost start calling it the Kyle Shanahan scheme on defense anyway. So it's kind of been dictated to Steve Wilks what the scheme is going to be. And so now it's up to him to call plays within that scheme. And just listening to him speak, he's talked about how, they want to get pressure up front with four, but he talks about being aggressive, and he's mentioned blitz the first couple of times I've heard him speak. So I think he wants to get after the quarterback, and he might not sit on his heels if the 49ers aren't getting home and start sending people. That's the vibe I get from him. But to be honest with you, the way I view it now is this is the Kyle Shanahan scheme on offense. It's the Kyle Shanahan scheme on defense. So I don't think a lot should be expected to change.
Well, we hope you never change, Brian. It's always great having you on. Your insight and analysis, second to none. And I know that football season, while it's technically 365, it really starts here in a couple of weeks. It'll be here sooner than you expect. We're talking like end of July. We are on full time, baby. And I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to the Locked On 49ers podcast between now and then, and certainly then. Have a great rest of your summer. Given the rate that we're talking, I need maybe have a great fall too, winter, I don't know. But good to have you on, man. Really appreciate the time and the insight.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.